This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Secretary of the Treasury Jack Lew has spent the latter part of the week in Detroit showing the Obama administration's flag in what is arguably the most troubled of America's big cities. Mr. Secretary, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you today, Kai.
Detroit's been in trouble for a while, sir. Can't help but wonder why you picked now to pay a visit.
Well, look, Detroit's had challenges over the last decades, but in the last several years in particular, it's been a very hard time. We've been working in the administration across agencies to do what we can with the tools we have, the regular programs of the federal government to make a difference. In Treasury, we've done a number of things that actually are making a difference on the ground, and I came here both to see the work that we're doing and to meet with community leaders, business leaders, and philanthropic leaders and elected officials to talk about what we're doing and how it's helping in the city. So I'll give you a couple of examples. You know,
sure.
Yesterday afternoon.
Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, so let's do this. Speaking of on the ground, one of the things you're doing there is you're giving federal money to knock down some houses, right?
Absolutely.
You're actually taking down houses as a way to what?
Well, yesterday afternoon I visited the Mary Grove neighborhood in Detroit. It's a neighborhood that was solid middle-class housing, but now, like many neighborhoods in Detroit, vacant properties are causing a blight, and if they're not torn down, you can see how it spreads to the neighborhood. We made available several months ago through what's called the Hardest Hit Fund, federal funds to be used to demolish housing so that the properties in the neighborhood don't go underwater or come out from being underwater. I was with the mayor yesterday as the first houses were torn down using that funding. The strategy is to stabilize neighborhoods by going at neighborhoods where there's a house here and a house there to stop it from spreading and then to move on to the neighborhoods where there's a larger problem already. I was impressed with the strategy and the execution, and it was a creative use of a federal program to make a difference, and I think it will make a difference.
Creative use of a federal program is a great phrase, but I can't help but wonder how many people out there are listening to this saying, wait a minute, we're spending money to tear apart the city of Detroit?
Well, just to be clear, it is a real problem when you have vacant houses that are stripped and the windows are broken. You know, everyone knows what happens on the street corner if a hubcap is taken off of a car. Pretty soon, the rest of the hubcaps are gone and the car is destroyed. That happens to neighborhoods also. It doesn't help the people who are trying to save their neighborhood to leave a vacant building that becomes just a blight on the neighborhood. It is a big challenge. There's a lot of abandoned properties. The ones that can be used, the city is going to either put up for auction, they have an auction this weekend, or try and restore. The ones that are beyond restoration do need to come down, and it is an important thing to stabilize a neighborhood, because if you have 20 houses on the block and there's a few that are abandoned, you don't want the others to be damaged either in terms of value or condition because of the blighted housing.
On the bigger topic of the housing market and real estate in this country, it has been recovering, as you know, from the depths of the recession, but it's does seem to have stalled a little bit. It's getting a little flat. I wonder how worried you are about the future of the larger economy if housing gets stuck. I mean, it's such a huge part of what we do.
Look, I think if you look at where we are in the recovery, we've seen month after month steady progress. We're seeing a recovery that's taking hold. And yes, housing and construction is slower than other parts of the economy to come back. Manufacturing is coming back. Other forms of investment are coming back. You know, I view it as an opportunity. There's going to be pent-up demand that needs to be met. It will require access to capital. It will require confidence, both of which are improving. So I actually think if you look at the recovery we have, before we've seen a robust recovery in terms of new construction, there is progress still to be made. You know, if you look at property values, they're coming back. If you look at existing home sales, they've been doing pretty well. Our problem is we need more new construction, and we need more new household formation. I think we're going to make more progress, and we need to stick to it because, you know, the progress we've made is important. But until every American who can work is working, until everyone who could qualify for a mortgage is able to get a mortgage, we still have more work to do. You know, one of the reasons
About that, Mr. Secretary, I grant you that the economy is recovering and jobs are being created and GDP is growing. We talk about that on this show all the time. Why then when we talk to regular people out there and when our reporters go out and talk to regular people, why does it feel so soft? Why isn't it more tangible?
You know, Kai, the recession of 08-09 left deep scars. We are seeing a healing, but it's a long process. And families don't forget quickly if they lost their home and they lost their job. Businesses are cautious to make sure that the demand is going to be there, not just now, but in the future, before they make investments and hire people. You know, when I go to international meetings, this is not just a U.S. challenge. There is an issue around the world that we need to worry about promoting more demand in the major economies of the world. I think that there is growing confidence. I think there is a lot of money on the sidelines that's prepared to come back as the confidence deepens. And
you sound like my stockbroker friends. There's money on the sidelines.
Well, you know, when you're seeing companies retaining earnings and holding back on making investments, it means they have capital to invest. The question is, what does it take to get them to make the investment? There's no substitute for order books. When companies are seeing steady improvements in their order books, they tend to be much more inclined to invest.
Yeah. But Mr. Secretary, with all respect, we've been waiting for companies in this economy to start hiring and start doing things with the money they have for literally years now.
Well, we've seen progress. I think, you know, while I think there's still much more to be done, I think if you compare the economy today to the economy just a few years ago, it's a world better. You know, we're seeing
it is, and that's not what I'm doing though, sir. Right? I'm comparing what companies can do and what they are doing.
No, but even companies are making investments. We're seeing in the manufacturing area investments, and there are challenges for smaller businesses to get access to capital. You know, I just came this morning from a firm here in Detroit, which stamps out car parts, where they have taken a facility that would have been one of the vacant, blighted properties, and through our state small business capital initiative, they've been able to create a business that has 200 jobs, mostly local Detroiters, and they're producing car parts for American companies in Detroit. So there are things we can do to help in the small companies for them to get the access to capital that they need. I think it's mostly larger businesses that have the retained earnings. And, I meet with CEOs all the time. I'm actually hearing quite a bit of optimism when I talk to CEOs. Hmm. That is the kind of thing you need before you see the big investments.
A couple of things I want to touch on with you, Mr. Secretary, before you have to run. The first is international affairs. As the guy whose name goes on a lot of the economic sanctions documents against the Russians for their activities in Russia and Crimea and Ukraine, I wonder when you expect sanctions might start to have an effect, if at all, on President Putin's actions. Because so far, sir, as you know, it hasn't done much.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to look at the sanctions. If sanctions have the effect of creating conditions and then leaders make decisions whether they change their policies. I think if you look at the conditions since we started imposing sanctions, they're having an impact. Even the Russians are admitting that they're having an impact. We've made it clear, President Obama has made it clear, that Russia cannot continue to violate Ukraine's sovereignty, and it cannot continue on the path that it's on without facing additional and more stringent sanctions. We are prepared to take
action. And yet, sir.
And we are working with our international partners to make sure that when we do it in an effective way.
You are just back from continuing with your international duties. You're just back from the spring meetings with the World Bank and the IMF. Lots of talk about China and developing economies. What do you expect out of the Chinese economy as it slows, as growth there sort of is not what it once was?
Well, look, China is facing a number of economic challenges. Obviously, they're facing some slowing down of their economy. The longer-term challenge is they have to open their economy more to competition. Their markets have to be more open. Their exchange rate needs to be market-determined. They know they need to move in that direction. And it's going to be a process that is somewhat disruptive, but they need to stick to it and move step by step in order to continue to have the kind of future that they want for China and that the world needs for China to have. I have a sense that the short term they'll be able to manage through. I'm more concerned that they stay on the reform path, because in the longer term, if they don't, the efficiency of their economy will suffer and it will create more tension in the world. I have those conversations with the Chinese regularly. I do believe that they understand what they need to do and that they don't disagree with us on what they need to do. What I worry about is the pace of change there. And to some extent, the short-term economic pressures make it more difficult, because disruptive change is always harder when your economy is a little bit softer than it was. But, you know, they have challenges that they can't put off dealing with. And, you know, when I meet with my counterparts in China, I'm struck at how much they understand intellectually what they need to do and how hard it is. And I've made clear that on issues like exchange rate, it is just not sustainable or acceptable to be on a path where the exchange rate continues to fall and creates unfair advantage. So we do have challenges. They have challenges. You know, I think that the world economy needs a strong United States. It needs a strong China. It needs a strong Japan. It needs a strong Europe. And as I've said many times, the world can't look to the United States to provide all the growth in demand that is needed for a healthy world economy. And China is a big part of the world economy, as the second largest economy in the world.
You know, it seems to me, sir, that you guys do, you and the president and Secretary Kerry, you do a lot of saying that things are unacceptable, that things have to change. And if they don't, well, the United States is going to be really upset. But you look at the Russians and sanctions aren't doing anything there. You look at the Chinese and they're doing what they want with their exchange rates. What then are you left to do?
Well, look, I don't accept your characterizations. I don't think the sanctions are being taken lightly in Russia. I think it's very – whether or not a government changes its policies is separate from the question of whether or not sanctions are doing what sanctions can do. You know, we have sanctioned some of the most significant people in Russia close to the president. We have sanctioned a bank that's the bank that they all bank at. We see many signs that it is having an effect. So just to be clear, you know, sanctions, we've seen in the case of Iran that, you know, governments can absorb sanctions for a period of time, but they don't ignore them in the long term if they care about their economy. We don't know the outcome in the end of the negotiations with Iran, but we do know is they're at the negotiating table because sanctions have had an impact. Those sanctions have had an impact because the U.S. took a leadership role with very tough sanctions and worked with the world to impose effective sanctions. That's what we're doing with Russia, working with the world. The president this morning spoke with the Quint, you know, and has been working with the G7. I think there will be united action, and I think Russia knows that. So I actually think in a world where it is, you know, you can't compel another leader how to make a decision, the economic sanctions are being used with a kind of refinement and direction where they're having an impact. And, you know, frankly, the goal is to hurt the Russian economy while doing the least damage necessary to the U.S. and the global economy. And I think, you know, we've made clear we're prepared to take tougher actions and that we're prepared to absorb, you know, the consequences of that if we need to. But this has to be done in a careful way, and it has to be done in an effective way. And that's what we're doing.
Do you think the consequences of American and Western sanctions on the Russians might be damage to the American economy?
Look, there's no question but that you know, when you stop doing business with a country as large as Russia, that there are effects outside of the boundaries of the country. So there are parties, you know, there are American companies that are already feeling some of the pinch, and there are European businesses that are feeling some of the pinch. The real burden is being felt in Russia. And that's the goal. The goal is for it to affect the Russian economy. Look, you look at what happened with the rating agencies in Russia just over the past day. It's not a thing to be taken lightly, to be one notch away from junk, you know, rating. You look at the exchange rate of the ruble, the value of the Russian stock market. Russia's economy is not doing well, and they acknowledge it's doing worse because of sanctions. So sanctions are doing what sanctions can do, and we will ratchet them up if we need to in response to Russia's behavior. But ultimately, President Putin needs to reevaluate his policies, and he needs to take a step back.
Last thing, sir, and I'll let you go. It's the same question I asked your predecessor when we had him on a couple of years ago. He, like you, had a famously illegible signature. Yours has come to be called the loop-de-loo. You had to change it to get it on the money so it was legible. How long did you have to practice that new signature?
I've been working on my handwriting for over 50 years.
You and me both. You and me both. Jack Lew, he's the Secretary of the Treasury. Sir, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Guy.